Bibles this morning, if you will, to the third chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number 3. Again, we are thankful to be in the Lord's house this morning. As always, do pray his blessing on our worship today. Ruth chapter number 3. Now, I am being kind of stubborn with my plan at the very beginning to preach no more than 6 messages out of the book of Ruth in total. This is already our 5th message, and we're just starting into the 3rd chapter. So bear with me. I'm going to combine a lot of things and shoot through a lot of things very quickly, and we'll do one message here out of the 3rd chapter, one out of the 4th chapter, and then we'll be done. I did not want to do a long, drawn-out series in the book of Ruth, but I wanted to give you as complete a picture as I possibly can. Ruth chapter number 3, as you can tell by the screen, my subject this morning is going to be entitled, At the Feet of My Redeemer. Now, I have entitled that like that because of what Ruth did in this chapter. In verse number 7, the Bible says, And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. I want to be at the feet of my Redeemer. That's my premise this morning. There was a story told many years ago, back during the time of slavery, about this man who was in Richmond, Virginia, and he came upon a slave auction. He was a northerner, and his curiosity was piqued somewhat, so he decided to stand around as they auctioned off human beings for money. And he saw one after the other being sold off an auction, and he took notice of this young slave girl. And he saw the anguish and fear in her eyes. And of course, all the fear and uncertainty that went along with being a slave and sold off to a slave master. And he took pity on her, and the story goes, and he went into the slave trader before she came up for auction and told him that he would like to buy that young slave girl. Well, they dickered back and forth, and they finally settled on a price, and he paid the price. And he got the bill of sale, and he turned around and took that bill of sale and placed it in the hands of that young girl and says, You are free. I have paid the price, and I set you free. The story goes that as he turned and walked away, that she followed him through town, crying all the way, This is my Redeemer. He has set me free. When he got to his journey, she fell at his feet and hugged his legs and said, Please, sir, let me live with you the rest of my life and let me be your servant because you've set me free. She was at his feet. We Seeing the wondrous love of Jesus, seeing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood, he ransomed me. On the cross he suffered from the sin, from my sin to set me free. I misquoted that, but I love to sing now. I love to sing now of his grace and his mercy. One of these days, I'm going to fall at his feet. So I want to think this morning about being at the feet of my Redeemer. Now, I have said this in every message, but I think that the book of Ruth provides us with one of the most beautiful pictures of the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Listen, he is my kinsman redeemer. He became one like me so that he might redeem me. The word redemption carries the idea of setting free someone who's in bondage by paying a price. It carries the idea of setting free by the payment of a ransom. Well, listen, that's exactly what Christ has done for me. And I can tell you, beloved, that because of his work in our lives, listen, we should desire throughout our whole life to be near him and to be in his presence and to abide with him. We should desire, I mean, think about it. If we have really been redeemed, then we long to serve him and glorify him all the days of our life. He is my Redeemer. He has set me free. And my desire now is to serve him the rest of my life. Does that not make sense to you? I mean, folks, if you've really been redeemed, you want to be in his presence. You want to be in church. You want to be in church. And nothing in this world, unless you're hindered completely, nothing in this world is going to keep you out of church. I mean, you want to serve him, you know. Now, I don't know what that says about people who claim to have been redeemed, and yet they hardly ever darken the doors of the Lord's house, but I fear it shows them for what they really are. I want to be at the feet of my Redeemer. Now, we come to chapter number 3, and I'm going to have to combine a lot of things if I'm going to keep to my schedule, and I'm going to be stubborn in that regard, I think, but just bear with me. I have to combine a lot of things, and you see, chapter number 3 is kind of an unusual chapter by our Western standards. You see, here's the problem that we have. Many times we read the scriptures through the prism of our Western ideas and our Western culture and our Western customs. You miss out on a whole lot of beautiful things when you do that. You must not approach chapter number 3 through the prism of your Western customs or your Western cultures. Now, I point that out because I actually read some commentators that questioned everything about what Naomi advised Ruth to do in this chapter, you see. They questioned her motives. They questioned her methods. I've read commentators that begin to question Ruth's very virtue and her morality by the way she approached Boaz in this chapter. But listen to me, you must not approach the scriptures from your Western point of view. I can tell you this, there is absolutely nothing indecent about the way Ruth approached Boaz in this chapter. Bold, yes, but nothing indecent whatsoever. So rather than just reading this chapter to you, let me just tell you kind of what's happening in this chapter, and then we'll try to glean some lessons from this third chapter. Now, when we last left Ruth, she had been gleaning for some time now. We don't know how long, but she had been gleaning in the field of Boaz. You see, Boaz took an interest in Ruth. I mean, he took a shining to Ruth from the very first time I think he laid eyes on her. And the reason I say that is that it was given under the law. It was a common practice that when those that were in need, they could glean around the edges of a field of a wealthy man. So it happened a lot. But there was something about this young girl that caught the eye of Boaz. And so he instructs his reapers, as we discussed last week, he said, listen, not only allow her to glean around the edges, but let her glean even among the sheaves. I like that. And by the way, drop a little handfuls on purpose for her. I mean, he was intent on providing the needs for this Moabite girl by the name of Ruth, you see. Well, when Ruth had gleaned and she took what she had gleaned back to Naomi, Naomi was just amazed. She says, where did you get this? Or actually she said, which field? Where did you glean today? And Ruth said, well, I gleaned in a field owned by a man by the name of Boaz. Now, when she said Boaz, that clicked in Naomi's mind. And she says to Ruth, why he's kin to us. He has the potential then, really the ideals of being our kinsman redeemer. So you come to chapter number 3, and Naomi begins to play matchmaker. Fellas, once they set their sight on you sometimes, we don't hardly have a chance. And so Naomi starts to play matchmaker. Some of you ladies like to do that. And so she comes up with a plan. Now, after all, we get the idea of her motives. Her motives was pure. She wanted a better life for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. You read that in the first few verses of this chapter. So she comes up with a plan and tells Ruth, listen, the next time you see Boaz, here's what I want you to do. You take a bath. That's a good thing. You wash yourself up, you put on your best clothes, put on that dangerous stuff we call perfume, you know. Nothing smells as good as a woman. I'll just tell you that. I've never met a good smelling man. I really haven't. I'm not much for cologne. It's dangerous stuff for a man. You and the fellas, we are... I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is. But we're almost, listen, one of the strongest forces in this world is a beautiful woman that smells good. Let's just face it. And so she arms herself with ammo and says, you go to the field. And I don't mean to make light of this because it's really a beautiful thing in this chapter. You go to the threshing floor, when Boaz is there and he gets his fill and he takes a nap, here's what I want you to do. You go in and you uncover his feet. Now again, do not read this through the prism of Western standards. There was nothing unnatural, nothing indecent, I should say, about what Ruth did. It was a test. It was a challenge to see whether Boaz would be willing to fulfill his role as a kinsman redeemer. So she says, what you do, you uncover his feet and you lay down and you wait to see what Boaz does next. So Ruth did what she was told. When Boaz went to the threshing floor, the place where they would process the grain, and after he had eaten and he had drunk, his heart was merry, it was siesta time. Boaz decided to take a nap. And so Boaz lays down, Ruth comes in, uncovers his feet, and lays down at his feet. When Boaz wakes up, he's startled. He sees this beautiful woman at his feet, and he asks her who she is, and she identifies herself, and she makes an unusual request by our standards today. She basically tells him, give me part of your robe that I may cover myself. You know, the idea is, are you willing to fulfill that role of a kinsman redeemer? We'll talk about what that is in a moment. And she takes it and she covers herself. And Boaz tells her, said, listen, there is another kinsman. And if he's willing, I'll let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, I will certainly redeem you. In fact, he says, I'll do everything that's required. Next morning, and by the way, the reason I say Ruth did not do anything indecent, don't listen to these preachers. He says, listen, everybody here knows you are a woman of virtue. So the next morning she gets up, she goes out before anybody knows anything about it. But Boaz tells her, reach me your veil. She gives him her veil and he fills it up with 6 measures of barley. And by the way, I'm told that weighs between 60 and 80 pounds. That's quite a load for a young girl. And she takes that back to Naomi. Now, Naomi, who's playing matchmaker, when she sees that, she gets excited. Now, she says, daughter, listen, sit still and wait and see what happens. She said, for this man shall not rest until this matter is settled today. I love that. Now, that is pretty much a narrative of what happens in the third chapter. And it is a beautiful picture. It advances this narrative, beloved, of Christ being our kinsman redeemer. Now, are you still with me? I hope I didn't lose you in that long narrative. But the chapter itself divides itself in 4 very simple ways. In verses 1 through 5, we have the redeemer's purpose. Now, listen, the purpose of a redeemer, you know what it is? It is to redeem. That's it. The purpose of a redeemer, it means, folks, that we have been bought out of bondage and we have been set free. Actually, the Greek word for redemption carries the idea of being paid in full. The idea being that, you know, when someone had a debt and he would pay that debt, the tradesman would then mark that bill as being paid in full. Well, let me tell you, that's exactly what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He stamped my sin debt, paid in full. He has redeemed me. I can stand before you today as a redeemed child of God. Isn't that glorious? So we have the Redeemer's purpose. Then in verses 11 through 13, we have the Redeemer's passion. And I love these verses because, by the way, Boaz had his eye on Ruth from the very beginning. God knew me long before I knew him. Isn't that good? And Boaz, he wanted to fulfill her need. In fact, he gave her more than she needed. In verse 11, he basically says, listen, don't be afraid. I'm going to do everything that you require. I mean, he had not only the ability, you see, but he had the willingness. Boaz had something that nobody else had. He had the opportunity, he had the ability, he had the desire, he had the willingness to fulfill her need. So we have the Redeemer's passion. Then in verses 15, we have the Redeemer's provision. I look at what it says in verse 15. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. As I said, he always gave her more than she needed. Listen, if I would try to begin to count up the blessings in my life, I would have to admit, like Jacob, I'm not worthy of even the least of all these blessings. But listen, God always gives me more than I need. You need. And then lastly, we have the Redeemer's power. Again, I love what Naomi said in verse 16. That he said that he will not rest. That the man, let me see, and where am I at? Anyway, I forgot the verse. He will not rest until this thing is settled today. Now that is the outline for this chapter 3 I gave to you, but I have other things I want to talk about. Listen, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Listen, we that are saved, you understand, we were literally in bondage, and yet we have been set free. Sure have. And because of that, we have a relationship now with the Redeemer. We do. And the desire of our heart is that we draw closer to him, closer and closer to him every day of our life. I'm glad that I can say Jesus is my Redeemer. I hope you can say that. Well, let me glean two or three lessons, if I can, very quickly from this chapter. I'm told you I'm combining a lot of things, but let me just glean three important lessons, if I can, from this chapter. Number one, I think that this chapter certainly teaches us, folks, that we should constantly assess our relationship with our Redeemer. Now, what I mean by that, listen, you need to determine once and for all where you stand with the Redeemer. In verse 1 of this chapter, then Naomi said, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou was? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Now, I throw that in because Ruth had a connection with Boaz that she did not realize. She found out that Boaz was her kin and potentially her kinsman redeemer. Now, again, we don't know a lot in Western culture about what is involved in being a kinsman redeemer. It is, if you want to read it, you'll find it in Leviticus chapter 25. Basically, what the law made allowance for was if an Israelite man died and he did not have a male heir, then the law commanded that his brother, if he was willing to play that part of the kinsman redeemer, to take his wife to be his wife and then purchase back or buy back everything that had been lost, and then to give a male heir to the father. That's in essence what a kinsman redeemer is. There's other things involved in that, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. We don't know a lot about that, but in that culture, three things had to be present for you to be a kinsman redeemer. First, you had to be near kin. Now, Boaz fit that bill. He was kin to Elimelech, you see. Second of all, you had to have the ability. Well, listen, Boaz, the Bible says, was a mighty man of wealth. We learn that in the first verse of the second chapter. Thirdly, you had to be willing. I got to tell you, from the very moment Boaz saw Ruth, it didn't take much convincing for him to be her kinsman redeemer, you see. Now, when Naomi and Ruth discover that, they kind of reassess, if you will, their situation. Naomi begins to play matchmaker with Ruth. She implants the idea of matrimony in the mind of Ruth. Now, as I said, fellas, many times we are men, we don't want to admit it, but we're absolutely powerless sometimes against women. We like to brag that we're the stronger sex. I sometimes doubt it. We can act like idiots sometimes, can't we, when it comes to a beautiful woman. Well, listen, Boaz was already smitten. He was. Now, if I can take this out of the material and take it into the spiritual where I'm more comfortable, listen, what is taught here is that if we really have been redeemed, listen, it's glory. We have a relationship with the Redeemer. I don't know how to say this, perhaps as I should, but if we really have been redeemed, listen, the Lord has done a radical work in your life. Everything changed. Everything has changed in your life. Would you agree with that? If you've been redeemed. Now, if there is no change, then there probably is no relationship. You know, assess your relationship with the Redeemer. Listen, remember, I put this in, always remember where you were. Never forget where you were before the Lord saved you. I would imagine about this time, Ruth, it's kind of her mind is spinning somewhat by the radical work Boaz already done in her life. I mean, her life changed in such a short span of time, you know. Never forget where you were. Never forget the pit from which you're dug. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. That just simply means there was no spiritual life in you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. That's how you were. In Galatians, I don't know if I put these scriptures on the board. I didn't. That's all right. I'll give them to you. In Galatians chapter number 5, in verses 19 through 21, Paul talks about the works of the flesh. And he said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And you know what? He named all kinds of bad stuff. He named adultery, fornication, uncleanness. I mean, he just goes on and on. Envy, wrath, murder, drunkenness, all kinds of bad stuff. And you know what he ended up saying? He says, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the way we were, was it not? And folks, he said, you will not. Another place is 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Again, he lists all kinds of terrible sins. But what he said was, listen, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he lists all this bad stuff. And anyway, he says, and such were some of you. Yes, remember where you were, folks. But on top of that, now, if you've really been redeemed, you've been saved, remember what you are. If you're really saved, there's a radical change that's taken place in your life. What a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought, my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light for my soul, for which long I had sought, since Jesus came into my heart. There has been a radical change, a transformation in your life. If any man be in Christ, by the way, your station is radically changed. You are now in Christ. That's a glorious place to be. And he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, I just want to ask you folks, has there really been a change in your life? I mean, we who were blind now can see. We who were lost, now we're found. We were dead are now alive. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We have been cleansed. I mean, you name it. Folks, there has been a radical change. Yes, remember where you were, but remember where you are. Now, number three is the kicker. Remember what you could be. You see, it's not enough just to be saved. Does that sound crazy to you? Remember what you could be. Now, I'll explain that in a moment. I didn't mean to throw that in too early. I just come to my mind. Naomi wanted a better life for Ruth. Now, Naomi, no doubt, was already excited about what Boaz. Boaz, as I said, was under no obligation whatsoever to do anything more than let Ruth glean in the edges of the field. That was it. He was obligated by the law to do that. Beyond that, he was not obligated. And man, he went above and beyond. Let her glean in the sheaves. Let her drop some little extra stuff for her. And when Ruth got home, Naomi was excited about what had already been done in the life of Ruth. But Naomi was not content. She wanted more. I mean, why settle for a few bushels of barley when you can own the field? You know, she wanted a better life for Ruth. Folks, it's not enough for me just to say I'm saved. That may sound crazy. I want more. By the way, I'm not the only one that said that. In Philippians, Paul felt the same way in chapter 3. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm not content. Now here's the thing, folks. Just think about what you could be. I cannot understand the mentality that some of you have. I mean, you're just here. I don't know how else to say it. You're just existing. You're not really doing anything. If you've really been redeemed, man, you want to serve Him. Live for Him. But you're just here. Am I making sense? Something's wrong. You'd hardly do anything at all in the cause of Christ. You grace us with your presence, you know. Think you act like you're doing God a favor. Boy, that came out. I'm sorry. You're just here. Think about what you could be. You better assess, reassess your relationship with the Redeemer. The second thing I learned, don't worry, I'm not going to spend long on these last two. I just got carried away on the first one. The second thing I learned is that we then not just assess our relationship, but advance our relationship with the Redeemer. Now, here's why I say that. And again, I'm not going to spend too long on this point, but not only assess your relationship, but folks, be concerned with advancing your relationship. Here's what Naomi did. Naomi, she was telling Ruth everything that she needed to do to see that relationship progress. Now, again, don't look at this from the prism of Western culture at all. But she tells Ruth, listen, when Boaz is eaten and drunken and he's laid down, he's merry, he lays down, he goes to sleep, go in and uncover his feet and lay down at his feet. Ruth does that. Now, I want to say this to you, folks. It doesn't matter how long you have been saved, how many years you have walked with Him. You ought always seek to advance that relationship with Him. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I want more and more and more in my Christian life. But if you want that, you do what Ruth does. You draw near Him, come into His presence, and fall at His feet. You say, what do you do when you're there? You worship Him. I keep coming, circling back around the same thing, folks. You be in His presence and you worship Him. Advance that relationship with Him. The last thing is that we need to appreciate the relationship with the Redeemer. Now, can I just say to you, it is an honor to say, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that glorious? This is not something, folks, we should take for granted. Every chance we get, we should be in His presence, prostrated before Him, and worshiping Him. Now, two things under this heading I put up there, and I'll give them to you quickly, and I'll hurry to a close. Number one, she appreciated His position. In verse 8, the Bible says, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman laid at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. In other words, Boaz was basically the only hope Ruth had. She acknowledged, that Boaz was the only one that could help her. If Boaz did not have the attributes that he had, then Ruth would be wasting her time. Let me just tell you this. The only hope I have in this world, my Savior. He's the only one that can redeem me from my sin. She also appreciated his passion in verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. I'm going to do everything. From the time Boaz laid eyes on Ruth, his desire was to fill her need. By the way, when he woke up, I believe Boaz was delighted to see Ruth at his feet. I'm going to tell you something, folks. My Savior delights. We fall at his feet and we worship him. Now, tie all three of these things together. You need first to assess your relationship with the Lord. Where do you stand with the Redeemer? Where do you really stand? I'm glad I can stand before you today with absolute confidence and say, I know my Redeemer. He's my Redeemer. He has paid the price. He has set me free. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. Where do you stand with the Redeemer? But listen, always be willing to advance your relationship. Grow in grace and knowledge. I fear we have become a do-nothing generation of so-called believers. What are you doing in the cause of Christ? Come into His presence, fall at His feet, bow before Him in humility, and worship Him. And folks, never forget, you should be thankful You should appreciate what Jesus has done for you. Let's stand and I'll quit.